It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and Monday is Groundhog Day. Many people will be turning to Punxsutawney Phil in Pennsylvania for an unscientific prediction on whether we'll have 6 more weeks of winter. Of course, for many of us, the holiday also brings to mind the classic 1993 movie starring Bill Murray. He plays weatherman Phil Connors, who gets stuck reliving Groundhog Day again and again and again and again, ultimately transforming himself from a self-absorbed jerk into an exemplar of selfless humanity. The role of Punxsutawney in that movie was played by the city of Woodstock in McHenry County, Illinois. The film did fairly well on release, and it's had a long afterlife, and is now ranked among the all-time great movies. Woodstock has embraced the attention that comes with that with its own annual celebration of the holiday and the film. For the rest of today's program, we're going to talk with a couple of the people who were there for the making of the movie more than 3 decades ago, about how it all happened, and what the movie has come to mean to people in Woodstock and beyond. We talked about this yesterday afternoon with Rick Bellairs, the chairman of Woodstock Groundhog Days. He was also an extra during the production of the film. And we had the chance to speak with actor Stephen Tobolowsky, who's a special guest at this year's festival. Tobolowsky actually went to school in Illinois, earning a Master of Fine Arts from the U of I Urbana-Champaign. And over more than 4 decades since, he's become one of the most recognizable faces in film and television. His credits include Memento, Thelma and Louise, and Freaky Friday, just to name a few. And he's appeared on countless TV shows, including Law and Order, Seinfeld, and The Simpsons. Despite that long list of credits, Tobolowsky says he's most often recognized for his role as an insurance salesman in Groundhog Day.
Phil? Hey, Phil? Phil? Phil Connors? Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
How you doing? Thanks for watching.
Hey. Now, don't you tell me you don't remember me, because I sure as heck fire remember you.
Not a chance.
Ned! Ryerson! Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head. Come on, buddy. Case Western High. Ned Ryerson. I did the whistling belly button trick at the high school talent show. Bing! Ned Ryerson got the shingles real bad senior year, almost didn't graduate. Bing! Again! Ned Ryerson, I dated your sister Mary Pat a couple times till you told me not to anymore. Well?
Ned Ryerson?
Bing!
Bing!
Again, in order to make our schedules meet, we spoke with Rick and Steven on Thursday afternoon. Because of that, no calls, but you can always let us know what you thought. Our email address is talk@21stshow.org. talk@21stshow.org. Rick Bellairs and Stephen Tobolowsky, welcome to the 21st Show. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you. Happy Groundhog Day.
Yeah, me too. Same here.
Stephen, how did this role come to you? I know it can be a long story, but what's the short version?
Oh gosh. Well, the short version is I was in the movie Mississippi Burning, and the casting director of Mississippi Burning was Howard Fuhrer, and he was the same casting director as Groundhog Day. And so after I did Mississippi Burning, along the way he asked me if I could audition for Groundhog Day. Now the problem was I was working on another film at the time, and the actor that was working in the film with me, Kurt Fuller, he was telling me that he's about to do a new movie called Groundhog Day, and he's playing this crazy character, Ned Ryerson.
He's not just working with you, you're roommates with him on this film.
I'm roommates. The only time in my life that they put me in the same room with another actor, and he says he's playing Ned Ryerson. Now, I felt a little weird about this because I was about to audition for Ned the next day. So I knew that something was wrong. And so I drove 2 hours and 40 minutes from Paris, California to LA to audition for Harold Ramis and for Howard Fuhrer. And I did just about everything to Harold Ramis I could think of in the reading. I zipped and unzipped his pants. I shined his shoes. I pulled his shirt out of his everything. I just was as obnoxious as possible. And my agent called me on the way back to doing the other movie and said, you have the part of Ned. They said that you were the most obnoxious person that they've ever met in their life. So that's how I got the role. And the addendum with Kurt Fuller, of course, he felt completely betrayed. And when the movie opened, Kurt was standing in front of the theater. And he said, I'm going to watch this movie with you and see how it went.
Oh, boy.
So he watched the movie with me at the premiere. And afterwards, he said, well, you stole my part, but you did a good job with it. Congratulations. And he hugged me. And I thought he was the most gracious man I've ever met in my life.
He'd been through his own Groundhog Day journey.
Oh, God.
So the production team looks at more than 60 towns, I understand, before settling on Woodstock. I've heard you talk about how you were whisked there because the same unit production manager is the same for this production and the film you were just coming off of. So you get there. It's, you know, you'd been to Illinois for your part of your education. But what was your reaction to finding out that the film is going to be in Woodstock?
The whole thing was shock and awe. I was spinning and I felt like I have the time of the flight to try to acclimatize. And I was first up. Not only was I flying from California to Woodstock, Illinois to start the next morning, and they were not giving me a proper, you know, a number of hours to acclimatize, you know, it was bing, bang, boom. Thank God for youth. And I thought there'll be time to sleep when I'm dead. So, you know, just buckle up and just get through this first day. Get through the first day right. It was, I have to thank Bill and I have to thank Harold Ramis too. We hit the ground running and I was as obnoxious as I possibly could be on the first two takes. And I kind of raised my hand like a kid does in first grade to Harold Ramis. I said, excuse me. He goes, yes, Stephen. I went over and said, Harold, I'm kind of a little broad in this. Is that okay? And he said, Stephen, have you ever heard in Jewish comedy of the Schlemiel and the Schlemazel? And I go, well, maybe. And he said, well, the Schlemiel is the guy who spills soup. The Schlemazel is the guy who gets the soup spilled on him. You're the Schlemiel. You could do anything you want. Bill is the Schlemazel. He has to play it straight. So you just be as wild as you want to be. So that was my introduction to the movie.
Schlemiel, Schlemazel. Is that the sitcom introduction? I'm struggling to remember the name. That is a conversation for another time. Rick Belairs, I want to bring you into the conversation. How did Groundhog Day first, you know, as a film production happening in Woodstock, how did this first come on your radar back in the 90s?
They came to town and they put out a casting call looking for local people to be in crowd scenes, the background. And they said that you'd have to be available for the next couple of months. There was something, I think, about if you were in a scene that was shot, it was going to be shot over and over again. And so you'd have to be available. You know, it can't be that, I have a job on Wednesdays or I have a doctor's appointment. You had to commit to being available. We had no idea what the movie was about. So after the casting call looking for people to be in crowd scenes, then they came in and they were here for 3 months or so filming. And this was before cell phones and all. So if you were going to be in it, they didn't know what scene they were going to film each day because it had to be the same weather. So if it was sunny or rainy or snowy or cloudy, so you'd call in to the office at the end of each day and they'd have decided which scenes they may or may not be shooting the next day and whether you needed to be there because it was a scene that you were part of. It was fun. And people from around town, if they weren't one of the extras in the movie, they came out and stood on street corners watching the making of the movie.
All right, we need to take a break. When we return, we'll talk about what happened when they made Groundhog Day in Woodstock and what's happened in the years that followed. We'll also talk about the film's lasting legacy. We're talking with Stephen Tobolowsky, accomplished actor who played Ned in the movie, and Rick Belairs, who is an extra and now chairs Woodstock's Groundhog Day festivities. More to come after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us. Wild Bill. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. Ahead of Groundhog Day on Monday, we're hearing from two of the men who, in the early 90s, were in Woodstock, Illinois, when Harold Ramis, Bill Murray, and others helped make the movie Groundhog Day. Our guests are Stephen Tobolowsky, a noted actor who played insurance agent Ned Ryerson, and Rick Bellairs, who is an extra during filmmaking and is now the chairman of Woodstock's annual Groundhog Days. Again, in order to make our schedules meet, we tape this conversation Thursday afternoon. No calls for this part of the show, but let us know what you think. Our email address, talk@21stshow.org. Stephen, we talked about how this movie has become beloved and, you know, people have watched it many times. There's a whole thing on the internet where people watch it every day for a year. It's the kind of movie that, like, I showed it to my son, 13-year-old son, this past weekend. We watched it, which I don't know how many, which viewing that was for me. This is not the movie that you were first handed, though, in the script, right? Talk about what that movie was and how it changed during the production.
Yeah, that was nuts. I mean, if you were to describe it, it would seem like someone had a suicidal impulse. We started shooting the movie, and we started shooting a lot of Ned scenes the first week. And then there was, near the end of the first week, there was a series of scenes where Bill has no consequences in his room. If you remember that in the movie, where he dresses up crazy and is playing the electric guitar and spray painting, where he goes nuts, where he realizes he has no consequences. After they got all that footage, and I should bring up this footnote, the footage that you shoot the first week of a movie, according to Harold Ramis, is the most important footage in the entire production. Because the first week is when all the money people are watching every take that's being done to see, is the movie coming out well? Do we have to fire someone? Do we need to get a new director, a new actor? It's a lot of pressure on that first week. Harold Ramis stopped and said, what are we really doing? We have lots of movies where Bill has no consequences and is a wild and crazy guy. But we want to tell the story of how people spend the time of their lives. And so Harold Ramis and Danny Rubin, who was the screenwriter, threw a lot of the script out and started rewriting immediately. And all of us as actors, from that point on, we had no real schedule. We were on what you call in the biz as will notify. And as you mentioned, there were no cell phones then, so you were hanging by your phone in your motel room or wherever you were for Harold Ramis or someone in production to say, Stephen, get down, we're reshooting the street scene, we have new pages. And there was once they sent me back after I finished shooting, and then Trevor Albert, our producer, called me up in L.A. and said, well, we want more Ned in the film, so we're sending you back to Woodstock. And there was no script. And I was there for a week, and there was no script of a scene with me and Bill and Andy. So I wrote a scene where Bill buys a lot of insurance from me. And we had the set. We were in the lodge, the Moose Lodge, wherever we were shooting. I forget. But we only had the set for like another hour. And so I showed my pages to Harold Ramis, who showed it to Bill. And they said, okay, we could shoot this. And it was just basically me listing off all the different kinds of insurance my insurance agent was trying to sell me and my wife, Ann, at the time. And at the end, Bill and Andy threw in their jokes. And that scene made it to the movie.
Phil Connors, I thought that was you.
Rita, this is Ned Ryerson. He's my new insurance agent.
I'll say. I have not seen this guy for 20 years. He comes up to me and then he buys whole life term, Uniflex, fire, theft, auto, dental, health, with the optional death and dismemberment plan, water damage. Phil, this is the best day of my life.
Mine too.
Mine too.
Where are we going?
Oh, let's not spoil it.
Oh, let's not. Oh. I got that.
And when Groundhog Day came out, my insurance salesman called me up on the phone and goes, Stephen, I got to tell you, I saw that movie Groundhog Day, and it was just a hoot. It was a real hoot. And I got to tell you, finally, your performance as an insurance salesman was terrific. Most people try to make a joke out of insurance salesmen, but you made us look good. So I felt very good. I felt very good about that and stealing his persona.
One of the best internet comments I've read in preparing for this conversation is a hypothesis that it's actually Ned who traps Phil in the time loop in order to make his lifetime sale of insurance products.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. I think it's more true what Harold Ramis told me is that he was a practicing Buddhist, and it takes 10,000 years to perfect the human soul in Buddhism, and that's what Groundhog Day was, that Bill is trapped in the town for 10,000 years, according to Harold Ramis in his rewrite.
I love that idea of the movie, and I've seen that in some of the commentaries. I did not encounter that when I first saw it, though, so that maybe that was on VHS before they had commentary tracks. Did you understand that when you all were making the movie, that this was like a Buddhist allegory sort of thing?
No. We thought we could be driving off the edge of a cliff in a van. Like I said, we were getting new pages all the time. We were adding scenes. They were cutting scenes. We had no idea what the whole thing would turn out to be. And when I went to the opening and sat there with Kurt and we both watched it, you know, both of us, our jaw dropped and we went like, oh, this is beautiful. But that was the work of Harold Ramis and Danny Rubin. It's amazing how they reshaped it. I mean, the odds against that of having success after rewriting an entire movie while you're shooting it is very small, you know, 1 billion to 1. But Groundhog Day did it. We had so little idea that the show would be successful. A month after Groundhog Day was released, Trevor Albert, our executive producer, called me up on the phone and said, "Stephen, I think we have a hit." He had no idea. And I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "We get a higher box office every week." That goes against every kind of parameter out there that they use to judge. He says, "We're getting double the audiences each week."
Siskel and Ebert originally kind of gave it a meh, not really thumbs up review. Then they like later rewrote their review and they started pushing it.
Ebert took it from 3 stars to 4 stars and ultimately included it in his Great Movies series of reviews.
Yeah.
I guess it was shot in Woodstock, Illinois, but it looks like the town in It's a Wonderful Life or some of those Capra towns, all the white frame fences and the insurance man on Main Street,
right,
the local people. And you get a real feeling for the fact that their normality is kind of a cure for Murray's
big city citizens. Yeah, it works out very, very well.
Rick, from your perspective, how does a film like this go from being a footnote in Woodstock history, you know, one where you had businesses that were actually against it being made to start, to now something the city comes together for every year?
It is a giant step. And yeah, you're right. There were businesses who thought that the production would take up their parking spaces and block the sidewalk and the customers wouldn't be able to get to their business. People opposed it. And today, the whole town celebrates it. How you make that, it's been gradual. It was filmed in 92, came out in 93. The first gathering to celebrate Groundhog Day was in 95, and I wasn't part of that. I understand it was just a handful of people then. Certainly nobody would have guessed back in 1992 that we'd still be talking about, let alone celebrating, the movie 30-some years later. I mean, Stephen, you've been in so many movies. Does any place else celebrate a movie like this?
I don't think so. You know, sometimes we have some kind of small celebrations, but people are celebrating more than the movie in Woodstock when they celebrate Groundhog Day. I think they're celebrating, you know, the fact that somebody spoke in an artistic way to what they always thought the world should be like. And that is, we should all be trying to seek our better self. And I think when people come to Woodstock and party, that's what they do. There's so much joy in the celebration. There's so much love. And I think that's kind of not what the holiday brought to Groundhog Day, but what the movie brought to the holiday.
But Brian, we've got 5K run through the streets of Woodstock as part of our Groundhog Day festivities, running past places in the movie, the piano teacher's house, the bowling alley, the bed and breakfast and all. And so far this year, they've got people signed up coming from Arizona, Tennessee, Georgia, Ohio. I mean, this is for an event. Yes, it's about the movie, but yes, Stephen, you're right. It's about Groundhog Day and it's about so much more. It's this event. Our weekend will be drawing people from across the country, and it started with a movie 30 years ago, but it has grown to be so much more. This past year, with Groundhog Day, February 2nd, being on a weekend, and we had pretty decent weather, and we had our special guest, Stephen Tobolowsky, present. So we had great crowds, many thousands of people. This year, it falls on a Monday, so typically when it's during the week, the attendance falls off a bit. People have to go to school or go to work, but we do have events through the weekend. The town will be filled. As I told you, we've got people coming from across the country. One of the guests staying at the bed and breakfast, the Cherry Tree Inn that's featured in the movie, is coming from Australia. So, I mean, it is crazy how you go from a movie that they didn't even really want you here to, as I said before, from 30 years later, drawing people from far reaches and people who weren't even born when the movie came out and all. It's a testament to the movie that Harold put together.
Stephen, as of this taping, your IMDb page has 301 acting credits, which span from Cagney and Lacey and Knott's Landing to Nobody Wants This on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And yet I've heard you say that this is the role for which you are most recognized. What is that like for you?
Well, it's great when it's a movie like Groundhog Day people like, and not Mississippi Burning, where I play the head of the Ku Klux Klan. So you know, I think it's nice to be liked for a film that is a love letter to mankind. And I think that's one of the reasons for the popularity. Just like Nobody Wants This now, everybody loves that show. It's terrific. But again, that's another love letter to mankind, that show. And I think with all the stresses of our everyday life and concerns, we look not for escapism necessarily. That's what we used to call it, I guess, in the 60s. But what we look for is confirmation of what we felt were the best parts of our lives, best part of human nature, best part of mankind. And Groundhog Day is one of those, one of the few, because, you know, if it bleeds, it leads. You know, people love to do shows that are catastrophes and murder mystery and all this horrible stuff. But it's hard to make a big success out of something that reaffirms something that you wished you always knew was true.
I think that's a lovely note on which to end our conversation. Stephen Tobolowsky and Rick Bellairs, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us on the 21st show.
Thanks. Happy Groundhog Day.
Happy Groundhog Day. Thank you for having us.
Woodstock Groundhog Days continues throughout the weekend. Again, Stephen is going to be part of the festivities at noon on Monday. Groundhog Day itself, he'll be at the Woodstock Opera House to tell more stories about the making of the film and talk about some of the other productions he's been part of. We'll have more information about the festival at our website, 21stshow.org. And that's it for us this week. We leave you with some more music from Groundhog Day. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again on Monday.
Well, I don't know if all that's true, 'cause you got me, baby, I got you. Hey, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. Say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned, our money's all been spent. I guess that's so, we don't have a plot, but at least I'm sure of all the things we got. Babe, I got you, babe. I got you, babe. I got flowers the spring, I got you to wear my ring. show.